Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of educational talks with Rav Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, with the help of Rav Leitman, we'd like to better understand the world we live in. In the past, the world was much more obvious, clear. Today, everything's changing. We'd like to find out what the future holds for us. Nitza, please. Today, we'd like to talk to you about the international relationships between Russia and the U.S. These are two empires that, since ever, the relationship between them was tense, sometimes more openly, sometimes it was behind the scenes. But anyhow, this relationship was always a kind of a cold war between them. Undoubtedly, Russia, on its behalf, comes from dictatorship, communism, and the U.S. was born out of into democracy and freedom, meaning these are two completely different ideologies which influence the entire approach, the way the military works, and economy, and politics. And undoubtedly, this relationship between the U.S. and Russia is maybe the only most influential relationship influencing the entire world order. This system is a system that underwent different changes. And I think throughout history, maybe only during World War II, they both united against Nazi Germany. But immediately afterwards, again, there were disputes. And today, when we look at the whole picture, that besides these two empires, there are additional forces coming into the map of the world. These forces are terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and more. And also in this respect, there are differences about how to behave with these organizations. Both are confident that we have to handle these organizations, but how? That's a question. And of course, an additional dispute came as a result of Russia's invasion into the Ukraine. And really, it's all very sensitive. So maybe the first question to you is, from your perspective, how do you see this special relationship between these two empires, Russia and the U.S.? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, according to the Torah, there are 70 nations in the world, and each and every nation has a character of its own. Each nation develops at its own pace, in its own direction. And when we're talking about one globe that more or less is covered by 70 nations, then it becomes clear to us that through the different kinds of interconnections between them and the different particular forms according to the character of each and every nation and the way these nations develop and the way economy develops accordingly, and international commerce, international relations, arms, that this brings additional different aspects, and cultural and education and internet and so on. It's not simply so that 70 nations live on the globe, but there is a general development that through commerce and the connection between the different countries, they pass things on to each other, and this is influential. And through culture and education and different other phenomena, there's also a very strong reciprocal influence. And therefore, these relations, it's something that you can't simply cut and say, this is black, this is white, this is that. As a result, if you go to France, you see that it's France. Italy, you see it's Italy. Spain is Spain. Meaning, every country has something which is characteristic of that country according to the specific character of the people. And there is a kind of an addition that because they have no choice, they took as a result of their connection with other countries. That exists in that country because their connection with other countries, their connections with other countries. You can't be on your own, especially in our world. And therefore, there is a kind of an addition, a supplement, and usually it's not a good one. No one needs it. The Italians, they want to live as Italians, and the Spanish as the Spanish, and the French as French. But because they have no choice, for lack of any other options, there are different other things, additional things, that come as a supplement to the culture, the character of the people, their education, the way they work, they function, their system of laws, and so on, reciprocally. There's a kind of a general international law that comes from UNESCO, that comes from the UN, that comes from different other special organizations, international organizations, that we have no choice. We have to take these usually limitations upon ourselves, each and every nation, even though for them it's all in all a burden. When we talk about Russia and the U.S., we have to understand that these are very different countries because of the character of the people. America was established, built by Anglo-Saxons and Germans. And the Germans there, it was up to 40% of the population when America was on the beginning of its way. At its start. And there was even a question, will English or German be the main language in the country? And therefore, the spirit which was back then in the country was English and German. A bit French too, but a bit. But still, it's a relatively uniform culture. And this is a culture which was at the foundation of that country. And Russia is the very opposite. It's a very different people than others. They came from Asia and settled down, especially where they sit today, in Moscow and St. Petersburg, all those places, where their place, it's not their place, it's not the place of that people. And that nation has a very special character, a very non-pragmatic character. It is a nation that the most important thing for them is their pride. That's it. If I'm respected, if I'm feared, if I'm taken into consideration, I don't care about anything else. I'm content with life. Meaning, it could be that I'm walking without shoes, I have nothing to eat, and I don't know what else, but the main thing is that I'm an empire, that I'm strong, and everyone's looking at me saying, oh, what a hero, and what a fool. But a hero, first and foremost. That's how it is. These are the Russians. The approach to life, the Anglo-Saxon approach to life, it's different. It's a pragmatic approach. I don't care who looks, who's not looking, taken, not taken into consideration. The main thing is that I'm making progress, that I have education, culture, acquisition of knowledge, development of industry, meaning the main thing is that we advance. If in Russia, if so, the main thing is the unification of the nation, it's national pride. Yeah, national pride. Then there, it's the very opposite, to give everyone as much freedom as possible, because there, as a result, there will be flourishment out of free enterprise. And it actually depends on the character of the nation, of the people. And therefore, we can't compare this is good, this is bad, or it's simply different. This is one thing. And another thing is that still, by Like I said before, through international commerce and different ties and connections in which they have to be together, there is a kind of approximation, but there, that nearness, that nearing, is very external. And besides, what I see in the near future is that America is vastly changing. It's getting rid of all the Anglo-Saxon European culture that the Europeans brought there and founded the country on. And all of the cowboys and the pioneers, it's no longer, it no longer exists. Now the Afro-Americans rule, and the Latin Americans and the Arabs are starting to rule there, the Islam. And that's why this entire European approach, which built America, is disappearing, and we will see this on the American people in the U.S., that it will cause its collapse. Because the character which is in the foundation of the country, the character will be Afro-American and Latin American and Islam. These are three, let's say, roots that have no urge to develop themselves. They don't. It's not Germans, and it's not English, and not French. So what motivates them? Such urges that it's just to live a good life. And therefore, I don't think that America could last for long as an empire that has what to be proud about, regardless of its relationship with Russia. It's as a result of inner processes. Yeah. It all depends on what happens on the inside. And therefore, I predict that in the near future, this is what I see, that the spirit, the Latin American spirit, African spirit, and the Islam will rule America and will completely change it. It won't be free enterprise and competition, and anyone who can should invest themselves. No. They'll build many more borders, boundaries, like in the Islam, suppose. They won't allow everyone to develop into whatever is good. They will ruin the free approach, the free enterprise approach, all these three approaches, let's call them, cultures, one might say. And therefore, I don't think that in the future, well, maybe if not in the near future, but that in the future there will be a problem between Russia and America. It seems to me that from the Kabbalistic point of view, I think that all these nations eventually will come off the stage of history. We're in a state where our world, because of the new technologies especially, it's going into a phase, into a state where there's no need for big weapons, a big army, big industries. We'll be able to do all these things in a small manner in biotechnologies and to provide for everyone, and no problem. Therefore, it seems to me that the future of the world, I'm talking about the natural upcoming future, is many, many, many countries. Suppose today we have 200-something countries in the world. So there will be 2,000 countries in the world. So much. The U.S. will divide into its 50 countries. Russia, it's already falling apart, and it will disintegrate more. The Far East, the Close East, that doesn't matter. Everything there, there are plenty of nations there, more than 100 nations inside the country, and gradually each nation will take its place because of the specific, special character that each and every nation has. We have to look at what's going on in the world accordingly, only according to the character of the people. This is why I'm saying that America is changing, because the Afro-American population and the Latin Americans and the Islam, the Arabs, are conquering America. And this will cause great disintegration. South America, I don't think so. Maybe there will be many partitions in many countries in the world, like we see, like the Kurds or the Basques and so on. In short, it'll happen because the increasing ego and the character grows with the ego, the character of each nation. And even though today we're so open and we live and we travel and we get married, still it's not, it won't connect. Not only that it doesn't disappear, but it's on the rise, meaning the national character of each country is strengthening, meaning from the place where they already seemingly were together as a kind of a united empire, the specific character of each nation will, they will want to express their special character, and this will cause disintegration. Yes, even in Europe, there will be more partitions, additional partitions to what we already have today, because today Europe is, I don't know if we can look at it as an empire or a union, but no, I'm not talking about them together. They're not, unity I don't see there at all. Even Switzerland will divide into 3-4 parts. If we see a different character in some country between its parts, in the future it will fall apart, meaning it will be more conspicuous. Yes. That's really interesting, because when I was preparing for this show, I read some interesting news. Shame I didn't read. But I can tell you that prominent people in the U.S. say that the biggest threat to America is maybe Russia. And here you're saying the biggest threat to America is America itself, only as a result of only because instead of the Anglo-Saxon rule comes the Afro-American, Latin American, and Islam rule. How do these changes influence the rest of the countries in the world? Because we know that these two empires, Russia and the UN and the US, are greatly influencing the world, and they broke up into these two big chunks, annexing different countries to themselves, having different treaties. We see that today, if in the past countries want to conquer other countries, for there to be dominions like England had or France, big parts, afterwards we see that France and England, the Netherlands, that they had big territories. They left it. They came back to their place, so much that now there is a back wave coming to those places, from those places that they've conquered, and they're filling England and France with that very population that was under their dominions. Therefore, I think that the same thing will happen with control. There won't be control between the countries, because by today's technologies, and that we're now entering this new era of technology, we don't need big areas. We don't need the Chinese to manufacture things for us. We'll build a few factories with machines without any human interference to make everything for us. For new technologies, we don't need people. We don't need international commerce, because everything that we need, we can manufacture through printers, in different laboratories, and in tremendous quantity. Therefore, I think that this period, the era of international commerce, big ship technologies, and the transition of commerce, it's all coming to an end. It's really interesting because you're like describing two ends here. On the one hand, the world's becoming more round, more interconnected. It's not. It can't be global. It's not interconnected. The world was connected by money and commerce. Trade, only because of that. Meaning commerce and economy. Yeah, it's not connection, it's only commerce, trade, that you travel from, that millions of tourists travel from one end to the other. It doesn't mean that the world's connected. It's the same trade, commerce that we know. It doesn't mean anything. The world will not be connected because they will not need connection. They will not be needy of connection. If in each and every country I can more or less manufacture what I need, I don't need anyone else. Meaning, up till now, I was speaking in terms of as if the development of the character of the nation and technology, but alongside, we understand that nature, or in Gematria, it's the same as the Creator, will not let us do this, but will ruin these things for us on purpose in order for us to correct our character, our nature, and to truly reach connection. So we'll see these corruptions on the way, we'll have to connect between us, but this will already come as a result of the new education, change in character into a single character, the world over, and human civilization that is yet to come, change in character. Meaning that above the particular character of the Russians, Americans, English, French, Afro-Americans, doesn't matter who and what, we will need, by good or by bad, by path of suffering or by way of Torah, way of good, we'll have to do this. And it doesn't matter that the Russians think that, the Americans think this, the Afro-Americans think something else, and the French, and that. It doesn't matter the white, the red, no matter. Through the blows, even though everyone can, you know, get along on their own and everything's fine, still we'll have to connect. And not to connect on the basis of trade and commerce, right. But in order to save ourselves from destruction, from annihilation, we have to connect above our own character. Otherwise, we have no other possibility or opportunity or need to connect. No need to connect. There's no need for economy, no need for trade, industry, nothing. So why connect? In order to be safe from destruction. Which destruction? That will eat each other up, kill each other, as a result of our ego. That we have to determine the ties between us, connect between us, only because it helps us be together above any difference in character, so that we'll connect all the 70 roots that exist in humanity into one source, onto one source. But what will be the motivation to want to kill each other? You said that if in the past countries want to invade areas and rule them, you said today no need for areas, for nothing. You see, China's closing down. Okay, so I don't need it. So every country, you previously explained that due to new technologies, every country will actually be able to manufacture all that it needs for itself by itself, right? So what's the interest to fight? This is what fights or wars were about in the past. So what will be the motivation to fight? You said that the world is divided into many, many, many nations, right? I can enter your family and start inquiring, why do you fight with your wife? Not you specifically. And we'll find out that it's only because of, you know, foolish things, that there is nothing serious about it. Right? So you're asking, why will there be frictions between countries? Because our ego, our evil inclination, the hatred that exists in man's character will not allow us to live a good, nice, connected, tranquil life. Why? No answer. The answer is simple. I have created the evil inclination. As it says, and therefore we'll reach a state where on the one hand we're not interdependent, on the other hand we eat each other, and the treatment is only by connecting above all the different sorts, types, and kinds of character that every nation has. Love covers all crimes. So those 2,000 countries, suppose, as they will accept a single law, which is that we must be connected above our own character. How? Through special education, which raises man above his own egoistic character. Our time is up, Rav Lightman. We'll take care of it together. You'll see that it's not such a problem. In a sentence, how will people in this future world, how will they feel? The individuals, not countries. The people that live in these countries. That I have two forms. One is my natural evil form on the inside, all burning, that I hate, and I want to be above it. I hate these natural urges of mine, egoistic urges. I want to constantly be above them and to connect with everyone this way. And what will I get as a result? A good, peaceful, tranquil life. Achievements. Heaven. In which hell's burning. Underneath which hell is burning. There can't be one without the other. Our time is up, Rav Lightman. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Building heaven above hell. Second story. New life. All the best.